Okay, so right there is, I'm pretty convinced, is the reason why women live longer than men. Oh, gosh. So we have a new puppy in our family. His name's Chance, and he's 14 weeks old. And he's named Chance because we feel, Lori and I, my wife and I, feel like we've been given a second chance after her illness. And we very much wanted to invite into our home as much laughter and joy and life as we possibly could, not knowing it would be this much life. So I'm a dog person. I'm a dog person. But here's one for you. A German Shepherd, a Doberman, and a cat all died on the same day and went to heaven. For those who are concerned, pets go to heaven. So they died and went to heaven, and God had only one question: what do you believe in? And the German Shepherd said, I believe in training, discipline, and loyalty to my master. And God said, you can sit on my left. And the Doberman said, I believe in care and love and protection of my master. And God said, you can sit on my right. And then God turned to the cat and said, what do you believe in? And the cat said, I believe you're sitting in my seat. Oh, gosh. You know, laughter is good for the soul, isn't it? And laughter is especially, I think, important when there's very little to laugh about. There's something important about laughter and joy when there seems very little to be joyful about. This country and this world of ours right now seems to be unraveling. Maybe joy is what we're called to. Maybe joy can be the most powerful resistance in these times that we find ourselves in. Leo Biscaglia tells this story of how his dad came home one day, and his dad had this armful of groceries, and he said, I'm going to make a big feast, and I have this nice bottle of wine. And Leo's mom said, what's the occasion? And his dad said, I lost my job. And his mom said, that's awful. That's terrible. We shouldn't be celebrating. And now we certainly can't afford a feast. And Leo's dad said, well, now is precisely when we need joy. Now is precisely when we need to be nourished by our love for one another. Now is precisely when we need to remember that God is good and that God can be trusted. You know, joy doesn't deny the harsh realities of life. I think joy pushes back the darkness and says, you know, you're not winning today. You know, joy is very different than happiness. Happiness or sadness tends to be very related to the circumstances around us. Joy is something else. Joy is this trust that just maybe there's something greater than those circumstances. I was, I'm sharing some of the wisdom that has been shared with me during Lori's time in the ICU at OHSU. You know, there's one day where a nurse said to me, Stephen, you've been awake for 48 hours. You look exhausted. And by the way, that's the word I'm hearing more often than not from people today. I'm exhausted emotionally, physically, spiritually, politically. I'm exhausted, and I'm exhausted from being exhausted. Well, this nurse said, you just look exhausted. Go to your hotel and rest. And when you get up in the morning, exercise, stretch, drink a lot of water, breathe, eat a nourishing meal, she said. Listen to music that stirs your soul. She said, don't come back to the hospital until you've called somebody to tell them that you love them. And when you come back tomorrow, hopefully refreshed, renewed, and replenished. And what she said next kind of blew me away. She said, your wife right now doesn't need your weariness and your worry. She needs you in warrior mode. She said, your wife right now doesn't need your anxiety and fear. She needs the fullness of your love right now. And that got me thinking, what kind of energy was I bringing into that room? Was I bringing in a healing energy? Or was the energy that I was bringing contributing to the chaos and the crisis? And I'm wondering, in some ways, is that a different way that we can understand this strange word called spirituality? Is one aspect of spirituality really about the spirit that we bring? The spirit that we carry? The energy we bring into a situation? What energy are you bringing into the world right now? Are you bringing a healing energy? Or are you bringing an energy that is contributing to the chaos and the conflict and the crisis? You know, this exhausted, weary, unraveling world of ours doesn't need our weariness and our worry. It certainly doesn't need our cynicism. It needs us in warrior mode. It needs us to be replenished, that we might bring the fullness of our hearts. The poet David White said, the antidote to exhaustion isn't always rest. It's wholeheartedness. I'm guessing the next 12 months are going to be really hard. And I'm guessing there's going to be a lot demanded of those of us who seek to follow the peacemaking, justice-making, compassionate way of Jesus Christ. So maybe the first step to bringing a bit more loving energy and healing energy into this exhausting world of ours, you know, maybe the first step is to tend to our exhausted selves. To replenish ourselves. That maybe replenishment is the foundation of resistance and resiliency. Søren Kierkegaard said, it's not joy. Well, no, he didn't say that. I'm going to say that. What did he say? Oh, he said, it takes real courage to grieve. And there's a lot in this world that is breaking our hearts. But he said it takes spiritual courage to be grateful in spite of our grief. And here's the thing, it is not joy that makes us grateful, it's actually gratitude that calls forth a sense of joy. Especially gratitude when we have very little to be grateful about. Gratitude is not soft and sentimental. It's tenacious, it's courageous, it's resilient. The psalmist in Psalm 100 spoke these words, make a joyful noise to God. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Worship God with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that God is God. You know, when you know that God is God, it means you know that you're not, by the way. Okay, so there's a confusion on that. Know that God is God. It is God who created us in the image of God's own goodness. We belong to God forever. We are God's beloved. We are the sheep of God's pasture. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks to God. Bless God's holy name. For God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. And God's faithfulness can be counted on from generation to generation. It sounds hard, doesn't it? Particularly today. It sounds pretty upbeat, pretty positive, pretty demanding, right? And sounds perhaps maybe even a little unrealistic. What if we understood this psalm differently? That maybe it's not about this demanding God commanding us to worship God with gladness, as if there's this fragile ego God who needs our adoration and praise, and if God doesn't get it, God's going to be resentful, so you better give it. You know, be grateful or else. We can read that way. Or we can read it differently. Maybe we could read it that the psalmist understood that we're the ones that need to be grateful for our spiritual and emotional health. We need to be grateful. It's not God that needs our gratitude. We need to be grateful. A grateful heart is a peaceful heart, is a loving heart. And what's remarkable about the psalm, it's written by and for people who had very little to be grateful about. I mean, it's written at a time, the great psalms of thanksgiving, including Psalm 100, was written in the midst of tragedy and suffering and exile, and the community would gather, they would sing the psalm in the midst of their suffering, as if to remind each other that their suffering will not have the last word. As if to remind each other that there is a greater reality than the reality that they're facing. So that same nurse who told me to go rest, that same nurse one day said the ICU and hospitals in general have this way of shrinking your world to your pain and its symptoms, where that's all that your world is. So she said, what I love to ask people is, what's a good day look like for you? What do you love? What makes you laugh? Where do you find delight? What brings you joy? Because she said there's something powerful and healing, far more powerful than whatever is flowing from the IV bag, when you connect people to joy and to love and to peace. I like to remind people of what they're living for and what matters the most. Because she said there's something that happens, because then you're not only fighting what is making you sick, your energy shifts to what you're fighting for. So patients may be too sick to sing and dance, she said, but I want to remind them what it is that makes them want to sing and dance. So Lori in the ICU, towards the end, after several weeks, when she could talk, would say, all I want to do is dance with Jonah at his wedding. And it happened. Much to the amazement of everybody, it happened. But what was really cool is Jonah played college football, so all of his groomsmen were football players. So the coolest was seeing these big, burly football players on the edge of the dance floor bawling their eyes out, watching Jonah dance with his mom. There's so much in this culture right now that is negative and cynical. There's so much in our culture right now that is emphasized about what we hate and what we're against. I wonder what would shift if we focused our energy on what we're for, what we love, what we're fighting for, and what's worth fighting for. It says in Galatians 6:9, "Do not grow weary doing good, doing what is just and right." I don't know about you, I'm weary. I'm exhausted. Most days I want to just pull the covers over my head. Well, the psalmist in the psalm invites us to take the focus off ourselves, to focus, you know, with our clenched fists, what we're fighting against. And the psalmist invites us to place the focus on God, on this love that endures forever, and to ask, how are we serving that love? How is our energy bringing the energy of God's love in the world? How are our little lives being used in service for the healing and the restoration of the world? George Bernard Shaw said the true joy in life is being used for a purpose, recognized by yourself as a mighty one. Not being a selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world doesn't devote itself to making you happy. I love what he says, "Life is no brief candle to me. Rather, it's a splendid torch that I have hold of for this moment of time, and I'm going to make it burn as brightly as possible before I pass it on to the next generation." Is your torch burnt out or burning brightly? I love talking with many of you who perhaps have done a mission trip to Guatemala or Burundi, or maybe you're tutoring students at Bear Creek, or maybe you're serving food at Bethlehem Inn, or perhaps you're visiting those who are confined to their homes. There's so many ways that this church serves this community in the world, and I love talking with you, and the stories that you tell are not about the difference that you make. The stories I hear is the difference made in you. How in giving yourself away in love, joy rises in you. What energy will we bring to the world? This exhausting world does not need our cynicism. It does not need our harsh judgment. It does not need our weariness. It needs us to be in warrior mode, wholehearted, bringing the fullness of our hearts with healing energy, joy, and light. God's love endures forever. Do you know what that means? Love wins. And if love isn't winning, which looks like most days, it just means the story isn't over yet. And we're the ones called to tell a different story. A story of a love that endures forever. What kind of energy will we bring into this world? We continue to worship God. As the offering is received, and as the offering is received, feel free to bring up your sensibility offering, but I also invite us to think about the energy that we bring, to think about what brings and connects us to a sense of joy, and to think about how we can bring more healing energy to